Now, I've shared this particular piece of scripture many times, and most times when I testify, and I could say that it is my testimony in a nutshell. I don't intend to keep you too long tonight. I'll share a word of testimony, bring a few challenges from the testimony, and then we will make our way home. But Lord, we just pray that you'll be with us. Oh God, we just thank you for this opportunity. And we thank you for the ability even to stand here and give a word of testimony. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 6. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou was angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. What a blessing. As I have said, that is my testimony. If I had simply just to finish now, there would be enough in that little portion of scripture to explain to you the testimony of Paul Elliott. As it is, has already been introduced by our brother Ian, I'm Paul Elliott. I'm from Armagh City. I am a member of Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. In fact, I have attended there all my life. I'll not tell you what age I am, but it's quite a while. And if I had just a little title for my testimony, it would be this: the faith as a boy brought grace as a man. And from the outset, I apologize. Perhaps some of you already have heard my testimony. But in defense of that, I've only one testimony to give. And the story hasn't changed. But most of all, the Lord hasn't changed. He's been with me right through my whole life. You know, there's a little verse in the Bible that I also quote when I testify. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. Now, I've already said here this evening that I haven't spoken here before, but I've attended here before. As a young boy, my mum had a caravan just along over by Leestone. I think that's the name of it. That's many, many years ago, and I have three brothers and a sister, so most weekends in the summer we were put in the car. I don't know how we travelled back then, because it didn't seem to be any regulation on the seatbelts or legislation on the seatbelts. But so there was definitely four in the back of the car anyway, and a fight for the front seat. But we come up here possibly on a Friday, and obviously I spent the weekend over at the caravan park, and we had much fun there. But on a Sunday, a little widow woman with five children come here on a Sunday morning. And I don't know if anybody would remember her. I was just asking my mum the other day about our travelling experience up to here and then coming to church, because I was sure that I come here and perhaps even attended some of the Sunday school or went out with the Sunday school during the service. But it was a tremendous time, and it just shows you the commitment of my mother, even on a holiday weekend, to come even to the place of and the house of God. So when I say train up a child, that was a good start, wasn't it? Train up a child in the way he should go. That's the tuition of the child. That's training and tutoring your child in the way he should go. And when he is old, not that I'm overly old, but I'm old enough to remember. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And thank God, those years of attending all those meetings as a young boy, and even coming here during the summer months, that thank God that I haven't departed from it. But most importantly, God has not departed from me. You know, whether you're walking with the Lord or not, he sticketh closer than a brother this evening. And he's right by your side, just yearning for that stronger relationship with him. So that's just to give you a wee backdrop of my experiences of Mourne Free Presbyterian Church. And of course, I'm well aware of the missionary outreach here and services that have gone on here. I know a lot of people in Kilkeel, believe it or not. But my testimony, the faith as a boy brought grace as a man. As I say, I'm married. Lisa's here tonight, my wife. And I'm married with three children. I've got Amy and Jessica and Sam. My two girls are now at teaching college. And I've Sam, who's 14, at high school. And you know, right from the outset, could I say, friends, tonight, that I can't stand here on my own merits, because I know better than you. That's not the reason. I'm not here only for the reason because I've a testimony to give. And my sufficiency comes from God, and it's only because of a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And from the outset of the meeting tonight, do you have that personal relationship with God? I'm not asking you tonight, do you know God? Do you know that he exists? I'm not looking into your life tonight or pointing fingers at you. I'm only asking you tonight, do you have a personal relationship with him? Have you asked him to forgive you your sin? You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Everything that we do in our lives is because of the will of God, because the Lord wills it. I had, as already mentioned, the great privilege of being brought up in a Christian home. I was sent along to Sabbath school and lots of children's meetings and Bible camps and singing groups. I was a member of the Boys' Brigade. And I have to say, through my experiences as a child, that I had many Christian influences in my life. And those Christians taught me the truths of the Bible, and that you just simply can't cherry pick the bits that you like and airbrush the bits that you don't like. They taught me that there was indeed a heaven to gain, but also that there was a hell. I developed an act as a young boy, and something that we still do in our children's meetings, of reciting scripture. And there was one reason, and I'll be truthful tonight, there was one reason why I'd done it so diligently, because they give you money. Some of my Sunday school teachers, not Sunday school, but some of my wee children's meetings that I went to, rewarded you for learning your memory verses. And remember learning the whole chapter of Isaiah 53 back when I was a boy at 11 or 12 or possibly 13, and a faithful teacher in Christ giving me £10. That was a lot of money back then, and I thought it was great. And I went that particular evening and I recited Isaiah 53, and I said, "Well done, Paul." And he gave me £10. And I says, what portion do you want me to learn next week for £10? See, I had the business head on, you see. I was looking at another £10, but hey, come back next week, and obviously they give us memory verses, and we got sweets and stuff for learning our memory verses. And it is very important to reward children for doing and learning God's word. But it was simply hiding the word of God in my heart, that I might not sin against him. I've talked about my sufficiency, and I was spoken to very early in life about the importance of the soul. I was told by those leaders that we have a soul, each one of us have a soul that lives forever, and because of Adam's sin, we will be cut off and totally separated from God forever because of a sinful soul. It says in that verse 1 of Isaiah, "Thou was angry with me." And God was angry with me. And you would have to say, even as a child, why was God angry with me? Well, one reason, because of sin. And tonight God is angry with you because of your sin. And he's angry with every human being because of their sin. It says in Romans 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned," including Paul Elliott. So I realized that there was sin in my life, even as a young boy, because I was born in sin, and we are all born in sin. But I also realized and was taught that Jesus was a substitute for my sin when he died on the cross. And it was only because of the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross that then, if I trusted him in him as my Savior, that I would enter into heaven. Now, you may be sitting in the meeting tonight or listening online, and everybody wants to believe tonight that they'll end up in heaven. Wouldn't that be great? But I have to be true to God tonight and tell you that will not be the case. Not everybody gets to heaven. I wish it was the case. But then Jesus wouldn't have to come and die on the cross for sin. It says in Revelation 21, verse 27, and listen to this, "And there shall in no wise enter into it." That's heaven. "Anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." God's record. And I'm making this simple. You have to remember, I speak to children and boys and girls, but the gospel message is simple, friends, tonight. The Lamb's book of life. God's record. Is your name in it? That's a simple question, a yes or a no. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sin? And is your name penned there? Has there been a time in your life? Now, I'm not asking you for a date. I'm not asking you for a time. But you know, in the fullness of your mind, was there a time in your life where you could look back and say, "Yes, I asked the Lord to forgive my sin." And you know something this evening? If you've done that, then you're saved. You're saved. If you have asked the Lord to take your sin and to forgive you, and you've turned away and are walking with him, then thank God for the salvation, and your name's in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, what an important book. You know, so important it was to me. I spoke about my sufficiency in my soul. At a boy, he had 7. It was so important, the Lamb's Book of Life, my name was in it, that I had to get my name into it. So I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive my sin. Even as a young boy, I believe God was preparing me for the future. Verse 1 of Isaiah 12. Behold, God is my salvation. God is my salvation. Is he yours tonight? That was simply my salvation. And I remember, I can't give you a date either, but I know I was 7 at the time. And I know that I went home from a little children's meeting where I had heard God's word. So never ever dismiss the importance of children's meetings, because I was saved in one. And I went home from that little children's meeting and I told my sister that I had got saved. Now, I had a boy, he had 7. I didn't know really much about God's salvation, but I knew that I had sin. And I knew that Jesus died on the cross to take my sin. So that day, at a child age 7, behold, God is my salvation. And as I said, I believe God was preparing me for something at such a young age. That leads me to explain to you about my shock. One major event, aged 11, left an indelible mark on my life, a massive void in my life, and definitively shaped me as a person. Now, what I'm going to tell you is not unique. It's the story of so many in Northern Ireland and even in this area. On the 13th of April, 1983, 40 years ago, my father, who was a sergeant and drummer with the Royal Irish Rangers, which was really known as the Territorial Army, was murdered in Katy Main Street by terrorists, an attack motivated by religious extremism. And I could stand here for the next 20 minutes and tell you and give you examples this evening of religious extremism in Northern Ireland, religious extremism in Israel and in Gaza and in Russia and Ukraine. It's a worldwide thing, religious extremism. One minute we were out playing, and I was playing with my brother outside, and the next thing I was being brought in to a pastor's house, the pastor of the local Elam church in Armagh, who lived beside us. And, you know, from a happy experience out playing with my brother or brothers, I was being brought in and told by the pastor that my father had been caught up in an attack in Katy in South Armagh. You know, I had the presence of mind at age 11 to ask that question when the news had been broken to me by the pastor. Had my father survived? Had he been injured in the attack, or had he been killed in the attack? I was totally aware of the troubles in Northern Ireland. I knew some of my father's friends and colleagues had also been murdered. Unfortunately for my family and for me, as a son, my father had been killed in that attack, leaving my sister, who was 12, Gary and myself as twins, 11, then Jonathan at 7, and then my little brother, Stephen, who was 1 year old, didn't know his father. So I grew up as a child, remembering that I'd been saved at 7. That happened in April in 83. At that particular time, I was going to do the transfer test to go to either some of the high schools or the Royal School in Armagh. And I have to tell you, I had absolutely no interest in school. What had happened was the only thing that was on my mind. And I just breezed through school, not a care in the world. And a lot of my teachers, I have to say, were very sympathetic to the Elliott family and watched out and looked out for us in school, but had no interest in it. You know, I was a wee boy that grew up in the Troubles in Armagh. Armagh was a hotbed for terrorism. I knew what it was all about. Many of my friends in my school had suffered the same loss. I think of a friend of mine that watched his father being gunned down right before him. That friend is saved now. I had an uncle injured in a car bomb in Kilkeel. Thank God he survived. I remember kidnappings, and I remember the bombs exploding in Armagh City. Massive explosions in Armagh. I remember watching out the back window of our house in Armagh that overlooked the Ulster bus station. I remember that station and the buses set on fire and the diesel tanks blowing up one after another. But there's one particular event that I remember the most. It was darkly. It was one of the worst. Because it was an attack on God's people. I knew the families. I went to school with the victims' children. I knew them. So that just gives you a bit of a background of the upbringing that I had. But I can tell you now, we had God with us. God was with us. You know, I was speaking to a friend yesterday. He said a very encouraging thing to me. He says, "Paul, any time I was ever in your house, I mean the family home, my mother's house," he says, "I felt the presence of God in it." He says, "More than that," he said, "I felt God's protection over your family." I can testify that this evening. That was actually a good precursor for coming and giving my testimony this evening. What a blessing to have the protection of God upon you. And I believe right to this day that God has protected and he has been with us. So at age 11, I remember my father's funeral. Age just 38, enter Armagh Free Presbyterian Church for the last time. My father, back then, years and years ago, my father had only been saved at age 30, I believe, but had got involved in the local Free Presbyterian Church, and I'm told that he actually helped lay the paving slabs right to the door of the church. So he was involved in the work there. I remember him being off duty, or being on duty all night in the army barracks and standing in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church, sometimes with his khaki army clothes on, straight out of duty and straight to church. You know, so I remember my father entered that church for the last time in a military funeral. Union flag was draped on his coffin. His regimental hat and belt was on top. And I remember the service. I remember the gun salute at the graveside and the pipers lament at the graveside. And with all the pomp and ceremony, my father had been lowered into the ground. And that's when it hit me. At a boy age 11, I hadn't even cried, because I was so hardened to the things that were happening in Northern Ireland. But that's when it hit me and I cried. And I don't think I cried since when I was growing up. I became very hard and wanted to be strong for those that were around me. I want to speak to you about my spiritually earthly father. As I described to you, his funeral, what a way to go. You know, friends, tonight, if you were cut off suddenly like that, would you be ready? But what a way to go. My father was a great example to me in life as a Christian. He was a great example in prayer, and we've heard our brother speak about prayer and the importance of it. You know, the very day that my father lived, his last day in this world, he was at the early morning prayer meeting at 6:30 in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church, his final day on earth. So not only was he a great example in life, he was a great example in death, because he was simply absent from the body and present with the Lord. That morning he was praying to Saviour, praying for me, no doubt, praying for my family, praying for his brothers and sister, praying for his work colleagues, praying for the work of the church. That day, that morning, he was praying to his Saviour. That evening, he was with him. And you know something? What gives me great comfort, once you're in the glory land, he wouldn't have wanted to come back. What a great truth that is. You know, you can ask the question, how did a young boy, how do you cope? And as I've already said, I was not unique, because there were so many in the Armagh area. There were so many in my year and class that had the same. But in verse 1 it says, thou comfortest me, and the Lord comforted me at my lowest point. It says, blessed are those that mourn, as they will be comforted. I simply coped, and my family coped, by leaning on the promise of God. Verse 2 says, excuse me, behold, God is my salvation, I will trust. Our sermon this morning was about trusting. Trust and obey. The sermon was actually entitled this morning, Trust and Okay. And you know, if you trust the Lord for everything, it will be okay. And not to be afraid, it says in verse 2 of Isaiah 6, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. I was saved, and then I had to trust, and then the Lord removed the fear. You know, I had a storm in my life. I was angry and bitter. There was lots of groups and organizations that I identified exactly how I felt. And they knew it. And they knew how I felt. And many, many times I could have been led into the dark side of the things in Northern Ireland. But remember what I said at the very outset. When the Lord hides the word of God in your heart, that you might not sin against him. And I thank God that he displayed the keeping power of his salvation in my life. And it was simply walking with the Lord. God kept me from it. I knew it was wrong to take the law into your own hands. It says in Romans 12, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Matthew 10, verse 28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And I believe that God has repaid. Isaiah 54 verse 17. And this is the heritage of my father. This is my heritage. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I believe my father was a servant of the Lord. And therefore, the weapons will not prosper. And neither they did. I could go on to tell you how they didn't. But sometimes it's best not said. God took me down other avenues to focus my attention away from perhaps a darker path. And he took me down the avenue in the shape of a band that I got involved in South Armagh, a band called Drum Derg, I'm sure many of you know. And he used that to draw my attention away and my brother's attention away from what had happened. I had a great passion for marching bands. I still do. I inherited it from my father. My father was a drummer with the regiment band. He was also a drumming tutor amongst a lot of pipe bands in the area. My grandfather was a pipe band drumming tutor as well. I now tutor drumming myself. My 14-year-old son has started to tutor drumming. And, you know, the Lord has used me in that marching band scene. And I had asked the Lord to endorse it and asked him to give me even a little work in that. And he has. I get many, many opportunities where I have a great privilege and an influence on people within that marching band scene. You know, they need the Lord. You know, it gave me great success in the band. Back in 2016, we were asked to play at a garden party for, at that time, it was Prince Charles, who's now the king. We had went to, I personally met the king, or the prince back then. We went to the battlefields twice over in Belgium and France. And it's a culture and a tradition that I'm not ashamed of. But it's not the most important thing. I believe our faith is based on Christianity. Back years and years ago, our forefathers were at least God-fearing. And on the 30th anniversary of my father's passing, we decided to unveil a lambeg drum in his memory. And we invited the Reverend McMillan from Armagh Free Church to come and give a gospel application at the dedication of that drum. I stood up and I testified. Not my own testimony, I give my father's testimony that evening. And you know something? Some of my family members were saved through it. So that's drawing waters out of the wells of salvation. God has given me a wonderful life. He has given me a great wife, a great, unassuming mother, and a very understanding wife. And, you know, he's given me a service for speaking and singing, especially amongst the band fraternity. You know, verse 2 of Isaiah says, he has also become my salvation and has given me a work for him. And it led me back to Armagh Free Presbyterian Church, where I got involved in the children's work. And it's been great. And I just want to finish by saying this. Sacrifices and suffering, none more so than the sacrifices of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. I have first-hand experience of sacrifice and suffering. My father sacrificed his life in the service of this country, and we have suffered as a result of it. But why did that happen? You know, why did the good die young and sometimes evil is rewarded with long life? You know, all I can do is give an answer and say, These things happen because God is not willing that anybody should perish. Tragedies happen because God has to knock that a little louder to get through to people. And I want to ask the question tonight as I close. What about you tonight? You've heard my story. Perhaps you have suffered the same loss. Has someone's death spoken to you? Is there someone in heaven tonight belonging to you? And can you say within your heart of hearts that you'll be reunited with them? Are you saved tonight? Perhaps you're in the meeting tonight or listening online and you're breaking someone's heart. Your parent, your wife, your husband, because of your indifference to the things of God. You know, it's the most important thing. When we see evil and wickedness abounding through this world, the most important thing and the common denominator in the whole life today is whether you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What are you depending on to get to heaven? I had the great blessing of having Christian parents, but my Christian parents couldn't get me to heaven. I had to have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Going to church, that's good, and we should. It says not to forsake the assembling of the saints together. We should go to church, but that doesn't get you to heaven. You need to know Him as your Lord and Savior. Religion, tradition, and heritage of something that means a lot in my life and our culture. Good works is good, but it won't get you to heaven. You need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior to take away your sin, and you need to do it now. It says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And you know, the very first gospel evening service in Mournfreesh Presbyterian Church, you could be rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ for the very last time. You mightn't hear His voice again. You know, I had the privilege of meeting the future King of England, but that pales into insignificance the day I met the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. You know, I have first-hand experience of sudden death in a family. You know, we all think that we're invincible. We all think that we're unsinkable. Didn't they say that about the Titanic ship? They said not even God could sink it, but it sank. So don't delay. You know, you've got to surrender your life to Him tonight and ask Him to be your Savior. And friends tonight, that is simply just my testimony. Many of you have heard it before, but I pray that it'll bring a blessing to you all this evening. And we're just going to change our positions and sing the final hymn this evening. Thank you very much for listening. I thank you for your attention tonight, and I pray that the Lord's still small voice will continue to speak on. The final hymn tonight, this evening, is Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. As we sing this hymn tonight, be assured of your salvation. Be sure that you're for heaven and you're for home. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Rising to sing after the introduction.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the meeting this evening. We thank you, Lord, for your word has gone forward tonight, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that it would bring forth much fruit. We pray now, Lord, that you would bless each one, each family that is represented, and that now you would part us with your blessing. In your name we pray. Amen.